Shalom, everyone. Brand new. Praise Yahweh. I love you. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. We have a gob of articles that I'm going to lay aside because I've got to get to a certain place in this before I quit, because this sermon's going right behind the other one. And things we haven't discussed, too, at least not in a hole like we have, like I'm doing this time. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd like for you to open your books of Yahweh and read with me. You know, I don't think you can grasp this if you don't read it for yourself and maybe mark it and go back and study it later. You know, when you get time, I can. This is Yahweh's feed coming to you through the witness, through the branch. But it's up to you, Yahweh says, to study and show yourself approved, to study what I'm showing you here. If you read it for yourself, it's hard for someone to come along and deceive you. Remember how easy it was for Satan to deceive Eve and take her out of the tree of life, away from life eternal. The tree of life is the house of Yahweh. That's what Yahweh shows. Praise Yahweh. It's where Yahweh chose to place his name. In fact, let's turn over there to that Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, and let's start with that. The two witnesses were raised and trained for the purpose of building the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh is a group of people that Yahweh calls to the place where he dwells. And this is what you see here in Deuteronomy. But remember, the Savior said three out of four will fall away. Three out of four that's called will fall away. Now, he also shows that those people, there's no renewing them again unto repentance. Once they have tasted of these great gifts, you know, and they fall away, there's just no redoing them. Well, I'm showing you how to keep from falling away, how to keep from being deceived. And, of course, you can do this if you'll just see this plan that Yahweh has for you. Stop letting the Pope intervene in your life and tell you there was a big bang and we need to teach that in all the schools. You know, he doesn't believe Genesis. He doesn't believe anything in the Scriptures. The man is a deceiver. He's deceived the whole world. Satan, that's Satan's instrument, as Yeshua said, and Satan's bidding he's going to do. He's not going to teach Yahweh's way. He's going to teach Satan's way. Read First Yochanan or First John if you have a King James Bible. Don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who sin is the breaking of the law, as 1 John 3:4 says. Well, here to learn, Yahweh, he doesn't go out from house to house. He tells you where he chooses to place his name, and he says, there go. And he says, I'll meet with you on my Sabbath days at this dwelling. The dwelling that he chooses, he will meet with you there at that place. And he will have no work except that prophesied. So this tells you right here, if you just keep those scriptures in mind, you can't just go to any place and find this information. In chapter 12, Deuteronomy, that's 12:5, he says, seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place Yahweh, your father, chooses out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. This is the only place on earth where Yahweh has actually lawfully established his name according to that word and its meaning. Praise Yahweh. I blew this up for you in the interlinear. Here it is. That verse 5 there, it reads, but rather, he says before this, don't do as everyone is doing here this day, everything that is pleasing in your own eyes, but rather to the place that he chooses, Yahweh, Father of you, from all of tribes of you, to put name of him there to dwell, you seek, and you go to there. If you can see that, let me see if I can zero in on it here. Notice I got it circled in red. And you go to there. That's not a suggestion. That's a command if you want the tree of life. There's no other tree of life. And then verse 11, you keep the laws and you don't go to the place and you refuse to go to the place, you're a liar. You're just like Satan, your father. That's a fact. It's a scriptural fact. You are a liar. The truth is not in you, as 1 John 2:4 said. Now that includes all of the people out there who's been here and left. They're all liars. They have no salvation. They've cut themselves off from Yahweh. Verse 11 says, and he will be the place that he will choose. Yahweh. Look, see the word Yahweh. He will choose. Yahweh. And he will be the place that he will choose. Yahweh, Father of you, to make dwell, name of him there, to there you bring all that I command you. Those are pretty simple words. I don't think a person could misunderstand them. They might just refuse to do it. But there's no misunderstanding what Yahweh said. Now, in the last days, he's talking about establishing his house. Establishing his house, that's the Isaiah 2. If you'd look at that, in the last days, it shall come to pass in the last days, Isaiah 2:2, in the last days. Now, we can see from Genesis 49, the 12 tribes. And what Yahweh prophesied they would be in the last days. All nations are exactly like he has prophesied they would be there. And every week we get news. Don't miss next Sabbath. We got some exciting stuff for you from showing what the 12 tribes is bringing and also the protection of the house of Yahweh. But notice, he's going to establish it in the chief of the nations. Now, we got up to this point last week, and go over to Zechariah on page 719, and we saw this is a subject, of course, the two witnesses, and people said, boy, that was really complete on the two witnesses, but we just touched on it, actually, the from Genesis to Revelations is almost totally about the finishing of Yahweh's work, which includes the work of the two witnesses. And when it includes this little house here that we're seated in, and all of you people who is supposed to be the dwelling of Yahweh for Yahweh's Spirit, holy. Yes, the dwelling. Well, how do you get it? You feed. It's fed into you from the branch, the western branch at this time. That's all shown to you in prophecy. I haven't covered all of this, but remember, I'm going to call your attention back to Zechariah 4 and 5, which shows the two witnesses here, the two lampstands that Revelations 11:4 says, these are the two witnesses. I'll give power to my two witnesses. Isaiah says it's spirit he's giving to his two witnesses. They call it power in book 2. I'll give to my two witnesses this power to prophesy. Now, in Revelations 12, he shows that a woman was even nourished or went to a place where she was nourished and nourished a child to bring up for this work. He actually shows that. These are just some of the details that I've covered in the past, but we'll do that again. But he said, these are the two lampstands, the two olive trees. Well, there's no mistaking that now. If you go back to the prophets, and Yeshua says you're a fool if you don't believe what the prophets are telling you. Well, he said here in Zechariah 4, talking about the lampstands and then on down, he calls them the branches in 12, which means that somewhere Yahweh has said there's a branch here that he is actually going to use, and he calls it one of these witnesses, the seventh branch. The sixth branch was in the east, the seventh branch in the west. I've covered that. Well, what are these two witnesses doing? They're over in chapter 5 and verse 11, correctly translated, and I hope you've studied that and the references there. You know, the greatest Hebrew minds on earth wrote these books telling you what this meant, what these words meant, and they know these are mistranslated. The commentaries know the King James Version, mistranslated, left out, added to. And if you read much at all, you'll find their comments, and they're not great concerning what the Catholic Church did through the King James Version. But here we find out that they're going to a land, a Babylonian land, not yet established, to build the house of Yahweh in a Babylonian land. And he said to me to build, where are they going, the two witnesses? They're going to build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection. How can you argue? How could anyone argue against these words right here? According to the standard of perfection, he's going to build the house of Yahweh, which means you people, you're going to be built according to the standard of perfection. If you go to the place where he chooses to place his name and believe the one sent, believe into the one sent. Don't stand out here in body and tongue telling me you would believe me with a frown of hatred on your face. It proves. Your face shows that you don't have the Spirit of Yahweh when you do that. Repent, and then maybe you can get rid of that. He's going to build it in a Babylonian land, which does not yet exist, and it will be established at that time. At that time, it will be established. Well, of course, that has come true. Now, we got on down. We came on down to chapter 6 here. I skipped some of this because it involves the quartet. So I want to start another sermon to bring you back to this involving the quartet. But I want you to go on down where we left off. Verse 10 itself, you can't understand it like it's written here, but corrected, which I intend to let the great David Yehuda bring out. But this is showing right here the transfer of the priesthood. The transfer of the priesthood. The priesthood was under the Levitical priesthood, which, as they said, you were born into it. It had nothing to do with righteousness. If you were born a certain person, by a certain family, you were a priest. You could be as evil as you wanted to be, but you was born to priest. And of course, Yahweh's plan that he saw from, that he gave Moshe from heaven was not, did not include that at all. In fact, his plan that he showed from heaven was that a person must follow his laws to perfection. To perfection, to be perfect. He who keeps his law. Don't be deceived. Don't let any man deceive you. He who practices his laws are righteous. Those who break his laws belong to Satan, the devil. If you hate me, there is no eternal life in you at all. The world is going to hate me. They already do. Because I expose their sins, just like Yahshua did. And I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can talk and speak and read and write and so forth. But he says here in verse 11, now on this other, the verse 10, you will understand it later, but he's talking about the transfer of the priesthood from, it's a prophecy that is going to come to pass in the future. But verse 11, he says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of, now they put Joshua in the King James Version, which throws you off, and now you think he's talking about Joshua who took Moshe's place. And that's all that comes into their minds. They can't get off of this. They stumble and fall at Yahshua, the prophecies of Yahshua. If they translated it correctly, they'd see, and translated his name correctly in the King James Version, they would see. Now, I would like to say they were deceived and didn't know better, but I got proof right here in my hands that they do know. They do know that this is Yahshua, that they translated Joshua here. This comes from the King James Version and the Amplified Bible. If you'll look right here, you'll see King James. See that? And then on over here, that's on the same page, Amplified. Amplified Bible. Look right here. It says the word in the King James Version, it says Jesus. Can you see that? The King James Version says right there at the end of my finger, Jesus. If you go over to the Amplified Bible, you see, and I got it circled, Hebrew Joshua. Now, his word, his name is translated Yahshua, right? That's his name. If you look it up in Strong's, this word right here, you look it up in Strong's Concordance, you find right here this number, 3091. 3091, and this comes from 3068 and 3467, and it means, and they put it, Jehovah saves. So they know this is Yahweh now, because they know that Yahweh, that Jehovah is a mistranslation. That we've got gobs of proof of that. Every true Bible scholar knows this, that word Jehovah was the reason they came up with it, because the Jewish scribes, that Yeremia said, you're writing it wrong. And they say, no, go get in the school of higher learning. It's called Nimrod down the road here, and you'll find out, you know, you have to write it this way. Yeremia says, you're liars, you're writing it wrong. How long are you going to continue in this lie, he said. Remember all that? Well, they know they're lying. And here they say Jehovah, well, the scribes mixed up the name Yahweh, because they didn't want anybody using that name. They didn't want them to be able to pronounce it. So they mixed up the vowel points, which they themselves added. That's what the great David Yehuda keeps harping on, trying to get you to understand that you can't use these vowel points. They're added by mankind, and they were added to make a word say something that it doesn't. But they mixed up the vowel points between Adonai, Elohim, and Yahweh, causing an unpronounceable name. So many false prophets went around saying, well, there's no way to pronounce the name. The name has been lost. No, they're liars. They're liars, and the truth is not in them.
The Judaica Encyclopedia says the name has never been lost. It's always been the same, Yahweh. We even found copies of it in Solomon's ancient temple, tithe receipts that it was written on silver and rock and so forth. Well, here it says Jehovah, and then on down just a little ways, if you can see that, which I guess you can, but it says Yahweh or Yahweh. And then on down a little further, it says Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, Y-A-H-W-E-H, and it gives the Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh or the Y-H-W-H there also. This is strong. You can get this for yourself. I'll give you a copy of this. In fact, I'm going to put it in a newsletter so you can get it there. Now, has everybody got that? So his name is Yahweh. They know it. They named the name Yahshua. Now, if you go back to Zechariah 6 and verse 11, that word, it says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, which they admit, son of, and it says Yazadek. If you look up that word Yazadek, we got it in the reference right over by you there. The letter L, this word, number 3087, Hebrew Dictionary, Strong's Concordance, means Yahweh. It means Yahweh. It's in your Bible, in the book of Yahweh there, in your reference. It means Yahweh. So when you put this together and take out the falsehood, you see, take crowns. Take this silver and gold and make crowns and place it on the head of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, who is high priest. High priest. He is high priest. Hold your place right there and turn over to Hebrews 10. We're going to be doing a lot of work there, so if you got a piece of paper that you could put in Hebrews, place it in Hebrews as a marker. You could just flip right to it. But this is a prophecy of changing the priesthood because there was a priesthood already established. And Yahshua says, violent, very violent men had come in, had crept in, and managed to take the temple. They stopped calling it the house of Yahweh at that time. It was temple from then on. And he said, violent men have forcefully taken over the temple. They're the tribes of the 12 tribes now, the congregation, the whole house of Israel killed. They murdered Yahshua. You got to get that in your mind. They turned evil as Genesis 49 showed they would. But Yahweh prophesied certain works where he would offer salvation. And the last one for the last days is speaking now in this place. But here now, remember, crown Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as high priest. And Hebrews 10 says, we'll get back to this much more later, but he says, verse 19, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now, the King James put house of the Lord because they wanted one of the rabbis who they liked to be a god. They wanted the, and they were called Lord, remember? So the house of the Lord are lords to bring you to Satan, who was just over the hill or down the road a ways. But we have a high priest over the house of Yahweh. The prophecy to take these crowns from the Levitical priesthood, and give it to the permanent, ever-living high priest. This is what that prophecy said. Then he says, speak to him, speak to Yahshua, and say, this is a prophecy for you, Yahshua. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. If you look back to chapter 4, and look at verse 12, you'll see the branches. Revelation 11 said these are the two olive trees, the two lampstands. Zechariah 4:2 says, and what do you see? Well, I see a lampstand of gold and seven lamps upon it, and there's two olive trees. Then you look on down to verse 12, and you see these are two olive branches. So one of these, called the branch, behold the man whose name is the branch, he's called a branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. And his name, Yahweh says, is Yisrael. And he said, he gave it to me. Okay, couldn't be much plainer. Couldn't be any plainer. But now remember, this is a prophecy. Look back to Isaiah now. Isaiah 1, I think. Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3 now, with all of that in mind. Isaiah 3, and let's start here with verse 1. Now on page 531, we'll be coming back to Isaiah. So if you've got another marker, save you some time. Maybe. Isaiah 3, for behold, our father Yahweh of hosts will take away from Jerusalem and from Yada the support, the stock, the staff. Remember Yahshua's staff or scepter? That's the staff or scepter. Remember that prophecy in Genesis 49? I've covered it quite a bit, so I don't want to have to go back there, but it includes the donkeys he rides, which are you, the donkeys. That's the reason he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, or donkeys, two donkeys. Two donkeys, remember? And they said, no, this is all bad, all screwed up. It can't be that way. He rides both donkeys at once. Remember all that? Well, the staff, take away from Yada and Jerusalem, the staff. They were in control of Jerusalem and the temple. So this prophecy said, Yahweh will take away from them the staff, the whole supply of food, that is food that comes from the olive branch or branches. It won't go to them. It won't go to them anymore here in this place, here in this particular place. And the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, all of these were given to Moshe, and Moshe set up a kingdom with this government right here that he's talking about. The prudent, wise, and understanding, and the ancient elder. Remember the elders that came and said, we don't want Yahweh to rule over us anymore. And Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, the elders take away. Well, yes, you don't want your blessings. David, King David said, let them be taken away from you. Let them be taken away from them. If they don't want them, if they don't like them, if they don't love them, then Yahweh just zap them from them. The captain of 50, remember that as part of the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh that was set up to guide the people to the tree of life. All of these things were set up for that purpose, and they did it. They did it. They worked when they were used. The captains of 50, the honorable men, the counselors. Do you get that? The counselors? Yes, they're part of the house of Yahweh. Somebody said, why can't they just leave me alone and let me do my thing? Well, their thing was sin and hatred. And of course, their counselors were trying to help them to overcome this hatred that the elders had for Samuel and Yahweh. And Yahweh said, no, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, that I shouldn't rule over them. But that was remember this now, this is the pattern of the kingdom of heaven, that Yahweh says he wants all of us to get in our minds and love. In fact, love it from your heart. The counselors, the skillful artisan,
I will give children to be their princes. Well, and babies will rule over them. That's what's taking place at this time. Of course, in America and throughout the world, the children are a curse to the people now. Children are no longer a blessing to the world. They're a curse. And families are saying, you know, if it hadn't have been forced on me, I wouldn't have done it. If I'd have had my way, you wouldn't have been born. This is some of the nonsense that they're speaking. Without natural affection. Well, what did she want to be? Why would she say something like that? Well, I wanted to be a businesswoman. I wanted to own the world for 70 years and then die. If you could own the whole world and lose your soul, Yeshua said, lose your eternal life, what sensible thing would that be? What kind of sense could you make out of a decision like that? Now, Yahweh says, you know, I'm going to test you, try you, give you some stumbling blocks put in front of you and see how you climb over, see if you truly mean, see if you can love this way of life or not, or see if you'll love the priest. If you hate the priest, you have no eternal life left in you. You're dead. You're gone. You may be here bodily, but that's it. If you hate for the priest to correct you, you hate for Yahweh to correct you. If you hate your brother, don't you see the hatred that this is talking about? This is hating your brother that Yahweh has put in a position to help you get to the tree of life. And they're called priests, counselors, in the house of Yahweh, chosen by lot. Chosen by lot. Kohanas, Kohans, counselors, and so forth. Chosen by lot, by Yahweh. You hate them, you hate Yahweh. You hate their advice, you're saying, I don't want Yahweh to rule over me. That's what I'm trying to get you to see here about this kingdom that is set up here. It goes a lot deeper than just a few words here, if you'll just pay attention. I will give children to rule over them, take away everything from Yada and Jerusalem here. This is what he's saying. I'm going to take it away from you. We're in Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3, aren't we? Yes, Isaiah 3. Now, take it away from you. Look at on over to Isaiah 43 now. Isaiah 43. And look at verse 28. Isaiah 43 and verse 28. He says, 5:58. Isaiah 43:28. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. We just saw that in Isaiah 3 now. He's going to take everything away from it. Because Yahshua said, ruthless, violent men went in and took over. You know how many times ruthless, violent men have tried to take over the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas? I don't know at the times. They even said they were going to walk over my body one time. 28 people, I believe, left the house at Yahweh at one time because they refused Yahweh's holy garments. And they made the threat, if somebody gets in my way, I'm going to walk over them. Well, they didn't. They came up in front of me, and then they turned around and left. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Well, he's talking about their sins before this. And will give Jacob, this is one of the witnesses now, to the curse, because he's also talking about Jacob and Israel in this same chapter and work that he would have for them to do. But I will give Jacob to the curse, that's death. After he does his work, after he does his job, I will give him to death and Israel to reproaches. And then he goes into the next chapter that I showed you last week, where he names the two brothers here, Jacob and Yisrael, and says, these are my witnesses. So Jacob, of the two witnesses, is given to the curse. Then Yisrael is given to reproaches.
that was just part of the reproaches that I told you about just now, where people said no, and I said, no, you can't come in the house without having these holy garments anymore. And they said, we're coming in the house, we're going to walk over you if you get in our way. Well, they're gone. I'm still in Yahweh's house. I'm still teaching. Now, with this right here in mind, now I'm going to dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Now I want you to see how the apostles, turn over to Hebrews again. If you got that place, Mark, you should be able to flip right to it. Hebrews 7 now. And keep this in mind, what you just saw. I'm going to dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Now look at chapter 7, and let's start with verse 11. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people have been furnished with the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek? Remember, we just read in Zechariah, take the crowns, make crowns, and put it on Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. That was a prophecy. He hadn't even been born. And put it on the branch who hadn't been born. Wasn't supposed to be born until the last days, the last generation. Yes, Yahweh shows you when he would be born, when the house of Yahweh would be built. It was all in that chapter, in the last days. And Yahshua said, in the last generation. And then he says, when you see these things, the nuclear war, famine, birds dying all over the country, when you see all this defilement, when you see the things that I've mentioned here, know this is the last generation. You can see it and know it. Now, another priest which should arise to the order of Melchizedek. If you remember, Melchizedek followed the peaceful solution, character education program. Melchizedek was a king, but he was also a peaceful priest of Yahweh, priest of Yahweh, teaching the peaceful solution, and not to be called according to the order of Aaron. When there is a transfer of the priestly office, out of necessity, there is also a transfer of the law of the priesthood. You see how he's explaining this prophecy that we just read? Transferring it from, take the crown, the gold, from this one group, and put this crown on the head of the Son of Yahweh, whose name is Yahshua. And then tell him, along with he as the high priest, one called the branch, will in the last days establish the house of Yahweh in a land not yet even established at that time, which was America, of course. For he of whom these things are spoken belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our high priest descended out of Yada, of which tribe Moshe spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And this becomes more plainly evident when another priest arises who bears the likeness of Melchizedek. Melchizedek wasn't listed with these sinful, violent priests either. Who, and verse 16 now, who has become a priest, not on the basis of command, not on the, don't think to say you have Abraham as your father. Yahweh could raise up from these rocks in one day, Mr. Pope. You know, it always amazes me, a man that holds such a high office and he says such stupid things. But he doesn't believe Genesis. He doesn't believe Genesis. No, he doesn't believe anything in the scriptures that I can find. But he's teaching it now. Don't believe Genesis. Us teach Darwin's theory, this Big Bang theory. Well, it's going to explode over that place very soon now, this Big Bang. And it's written in Revelation 18. who has become a priest, not on the basis of command concerning his physical ancestry, but on the basis of doctrine that leads to eternal life. What are you going to do in the last days when all the tribes are one, all the ancestors of Abraham are mixed in with the tribes, they're all one? Where can you separate anything there? And biology knows, and this has all been tested. Oh, by the way, they are the DNA. They're using this to a great thing right now, and they say science is going to have to be rewritten all over again now, and everybody's thinking is going to have to be rewritten. And I say, oh, yes, it's going to have to go back to the Holy Scriptures in the beginning. But they're proving that the so-called native Indians, you know, they're proving that they're all from the 12 tribes and so forth. And, of course, they were being persecuted. I think this will be in their DNA. I certainly hope it shows it. It does in that little bone in the back of their head anyway. 17. Verse, 16. Who has become a priest not on the basis of a command concerning his physical ancestry, but on the basis of the doctrine that leads to eternal life. The doctrine that leads to life. That's the tree of life planted in the Garden of Eden, where Yahweh taught. For he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, there comes about on the one hand, the annulment of the weak and unprofitable because of the law which came before it. Now, there comes about, on the one hand, the annulment. Hold your place right there and flip back now to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 in verse 28. Remember, there comes about, on the one hand, an annulment. Yahweh says in verse 27, chapter Isaiah 43, 27, your first father sinned and wouldn't stop, wouldn't repent, still won't repent, and your interpreters broke my covenant. And that's what Urimia was speaking about, taking out the name, rewriting the name, putting rabbis in the place of the name, my covenant, and turned away from me in prayer, turning to the gods and lords, the dead rabbis, keeping memorials to the dead. Halloween, that's where it all came from, the dead rabbis, establishing themselves as gods. Verse 28, therefore I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Dissolve it. Well, go back now to Hebrews 7 and verse 18. He's going to dissolve it. Now, there comes about, on the one hand, the annulment of the weak and the unprofitable, the ones that sin that won't turn from sinning. Now, look over to Matithya, the Savior's writing on this very subject here, Matithya 21. Remember chapter 15 where he says the violent men have taken the temple by force. And look at chapter 21 here, speaking of the exact same thing that the apostle was speaking of in Hebrews, and speaking of the prophecy concerning that he's said, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Matithya 21, notice verse 42. Yeshua said unto them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner? This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. That was in Psalms. He's quoting Psalms 18, verse 22. Therefore, verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you. Remember Isaiah now, 43:28, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. The kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you. When he says kingdom, this was the kingdom he showed Moshe. Now get that in your mind. the kingdom. Let it build all things according to this pattern. The laws are the pattern of that kingdom. The captains of 50, the captains of 100, the counselors, and so forth. That's part of that pattern. And he says, I'm going to take it away from you. We just read it a while ago in Deuteronomy. And the Savior is saying here, he's quoting this prophecy and telling them, this is all going to be taken away from you. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land. Speaking also of the same thing that Zechariah was speaking of, a foreign land not yet established at that time. But a man there would be born, a child would be born, not just in the United States somewhere, but the ends of the earth, the ends of the establishment of the Babylonian land. Read about the Oklahoma run. It was just before I was born, just a little ways before I was born. The land, a foreign land, and they will bring forth the fruits of it. Take you from the ends of the earth, you will branch out, and you will build the house of Yahweh west of the original house of Yahweh at Abel. And then he says at Abilene was named after Abel. Remember? And that's where it was established, in Abilene, Texas. 1025 TNP Lane. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken. And on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, this is speaking, of course, of Yahshua the high priest. Take the crowns and put it on another person here, Yahshua the son of Yahweh. Now, when the chief priest and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spoke about them. And, of course, they were right. And they went about to try to kill him. Here's life. Let's kill it. Get it out of the way. That's what Satan wanted to do. Here's life. Let's get rid of it. So all of this is speaking of the same thing and, of course, the fulfillment of that. Now let's go back to Hebrews again, the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7. Page 946. Hebrews 7. Now, start with verse 19. We left off in 18. Now, the law concerning priesthood perfected nothing, but is an introduction of a better hope through which... Now, of course, the Christianity, they try to make out like that this did away with the laws of Yahweh. But that's not what it was speaking of here. It's speaking, this whole chapter is speaking of the change of the prophecy of the change of the priesthood, because the priest broke my laws in Isaiah 43:28-27. Your first father sinned. Sin is the breaking of the law. They wouldn't keep Yahweh's laws. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. So it's talking about not doing away with the laws that guide you to eternal life, but the law of the priesthood, but was based on ancestry, who you were born to. It's a whole subject here. For the laws concerning priesthood perfected nothing, but is an introduction of a better hope through which we draw near to Yahweh. And it was not without an oath, for they became priests without an oath, but that is, as just born into it. But he with an oath by him who said to him, Yahweh has vowed and will not relent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This was a prophecy concerning Yahshua, who would be perfect, sinless, and peaceful. Find me a general in the army today, or in any of the armed forces, or even in our governments, that is like Yahshua. Find me a preacher in any of the places. Here a while back, they had this Baptist preacher on the news, and he had a gun on his desk, laying on his desk, and said somebody had broken into his church, and he is ready for him the next time. You know, they're nothing like the example that was set by Yahshua. Find one. Look at the Pope himself and the evil that the popes have done all down through the centuries. Is this any example of all that we see in Yahshua Messiah? Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, says he's going to build a house like himself. The standard of perfection. And that means you're going to have to be like Yahshua. Now, verse 22, and by this it is so much better because Yahshua has become the guarantor of the covenant. Now, there truly were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, because he lives forever, has an untransferable priesthood. It's untransferable. Therefore, he is able to save continuously to the end. Those who come to Yahweh, here's the other, find where I establish my house, seek where I establish my house, or as Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom was set up at his house. The laws of the kingdom, to teach you the laws of the kingdom. Those who come to Yahweh through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those sinful high priest who offer up sacrifices first for their own sins. This was what had filled Jerusalem. They'd taken over Jerusalem. And then for the people, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law concerning priesthood appoints men who have weaknesses as high priests, but the word of oath promised to the Son appointed him who has perfected by means of the law forever. Perfected by means of the law forever. We're in Hebrews 7. Let's look over now to Hebrews 8 and start with verse 1. Now, all of this is talking about this prophecies of crowning Yahshua, high priest, and the branch who will build the house in the last days. This is what it's speaking of. Now, notice chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, the point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the holy things and of the true tabernacle set up by Yahweh and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it was necessary that this one also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are already priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve at the sanctuary that is the pattern and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moshe was admonished by Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to this pattern. So the pattern wasn't just a pattern of a tent. It was the whole setup that we will read just here in just a little bit. A pattern shown you on the mountain. A pattern shown you on the mountain. The burning bush that burnt without burning up. This is where it was shown to him. By Jethro, verse 6 now, and now he has obtained that ministry. Yahshua has actually obtained that ministry that was given to Moshe and was successful until a time period when Yahweh said they would turn from following his laws. Verse 6, and now he has obtained that ministry, which is more superior indeed, of which he is a better mediator of the covenant, which was given upon better promises established in the laws of Yahweh. Let's see, verse 10 is where we want to go to. For if that, verse 7, if that first priesthood had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second. See, it's not talking about doing away with the laws of righteousness. It's talking about dissolving the Levitical priesthood and giving it to the son of Yahweh, the first son. We're the firstborn of many brethren, remember? Because finding fault with them, with the priest, with the people themselves, they wouldn't keep the law. They, ruthless men. He says, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will renew the covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yada. This is a promise that he has made. This covenant which I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand out of Egypt will not be replaced, which covenant they broke, although I was a father to them, says Yahweh. For this covenant is the same covenant that I will renew with the house of Israel, after those days, says Yahweh, I will put my laws into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, minds, and I will be their father and they will be my people. Put my laws into their hearts. That's what the house of Yahweh is doing right now, teaching the laws of Yahweh. Now look at chapter 10 on the same subject and go to verse 16. Chapter 10 and verse 16. Remember, this is a covenant. Well, it's the covenant is the law, the covenant. This covenant, a renewed covenant that he gave to Israel, and they would not keep it. The 12 tribes would not keep it as a whole, and finally branched off as Yahweh said they would, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and so forth. 10 verse 16, this is the covenant. Even the King James Version says this, that I will renew with them in those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Look at verse 19 now. Verse 19, if you got in mind that he's doing away with the law, you better get it out. Look at verse 16 says, the laws is what's going to guide you to eternal life. Verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahshua, he's the one that they made the crown for along with the branch, in Isaiah the prophecy, Zechariah 6, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. King James Version puts house of the Lord, house of the rabbis, the dead rabbis. Let us draw near, 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience. Got some overcoming to do. Yeshua said, he who overcomes and endures. He who overcomes and endures. He didn't say anything about anybody that leaves, except they're gone, they're dead. They've cut themselves off from the tree of life. Conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession, yes, come to confession of their faith, where there are counselors set up by the laws of Yahweh. Let us hold fast confession of our faith without wavering, not bending or giving, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another how we should urge one another on to righteous works. That is, righteousness is keeping the laws of Yahweh, breaking them is sin. Verse 25, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together.
He's speaking here of chapter 4 where he says they didn't believe. That's the reason they stopped coming to keep Yahweh's appointed Sabbath, because they simply didn't believe. The churches say believe, they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, Yeshua said believe, yes, believe all that the prophets have spoken. He wasn't talking about an empty belief that just, oh yeah, I believe, thank you, give me eternal life for it. He says, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together. Yes, you've got to overcome, and Yahweh will keep his appointment on the Sabbath at the place where he chooses to place his name. If you will keep yours, you can start growing and growing and growing in the faith. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is. This is a law. It's a Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Be a blessing as Yahweh was a blessing to his people, as Yahshua set the example. Only as Yahshua set the example for you. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day is very near now. For if we sin willfully, if we leave the house of Yahweh now and start breaking the Sabbath, not keeping our appointment with Yahweh, do you see that? The Sabbath is a command that must be kept. The feast days are appointments that must be kept. At the place he chooses to place his name. Don't go back to doing whatever everybody wants to do in his own mind. But you can't do that, Yahweh said. That was the first scripture I gave you in Hebrews 12. Every man doing what is right in his own eyes. No, believe the prophets. Follow what the prophets said. Follow what the Savior said. Follow what the apostles said. Don't trust this to your own mind or own desires. Be there at your appointed time. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fury and indignation which shall devour the adversary. Well, that's the promise to those who leave. Those who leave. If I was in that predicament, I would be begging, brethren. Now let's go back. Let's go back to Zechariah. With all of that in mind now, go back to Zechariah again. I would like to get this finished, and it just won't take but a little bit, but I really need to get this part finished right here. In Zechariah 6 and verse 11, he says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Then in verse 12, he says, speak to him and say, This is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Well, of course, that's built, and 10:16 says, put the law in, he'll be putting the law in their minds and in their hearts, he will write them. That's 10:16. Remember that, as you see here, building the house of Yahweh. Yahweh, putting Yahweh in you, putting Yahweh in you. Hold your place there, and no, you don't have to. That's the last time we're going there. Go over to First Kefa now with this in mind. He will build the house of Yahweh. First Kefa 2, putting the laws of Yahweh in the heart, to change the heart, to change the mind. Remember? Malachia, that's our job to do in these last days. Here in 1 Kefa 2 and verse 5, he says, you also, verse 4, coming to him as a living stone now, coming to his house as a living stone, indeed rejected by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. Now, this is not
getting your mind off in la-la land and thinking, well, I believe, when you're denying everything that's in the Holy Scriptures, everything Yahshua said, a spiritual house, a spiritual house. Hold your place right there and go over to Romans 6. Go back to Romans 6. Romans 6, and notice verse 12, I think. Romans 6 and verse 12. Hold your place, spiritual house now. Therefore, do not allow sin to rule in your mortal bodies, so that you do not obey its sinful lust. And verse 14, for sin will not rule over you, for you are under the law, and therefore under Yahweh's undeserved pardon. Now look on down to 18. Being then set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. That is, remember, keeping the laws of Yahweh. Look on over to chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and righteous. Remember, this is a spiritual house that he's building. Look down to verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but we are carnal, sold unto sin. Look across to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against Yahweh, it is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are of the flesh cannot please Yahweh. Those who are thinking spiritually are thinking the law, following the law, believing the prophets, following what they say. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Yahweh truly dwells in you. Now, anyone who does not have this Spirit as the Messiah, he is not his. Now, that's the apostle's writing. Now, look back and see what he's talking about over in Yochanan, the 6th chapter. And this is the Savior's own words here. When we're talking about spiritual and a spiritual house, we're talking about people who keep the laws of Yahweh. Yochanan, or John 6, and notice verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. Well, what is the Spirit? The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak, they are spirit, and they are life everlasting. The laws are spirit, and they are life. This is the Savior's own words. If you keep the laws, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. That's the righteous spirit that Yahweh wants in you. Chapter 12, Yochanan 12, and notice verse 50. Yochanan 12 and verse 50, I know that his laws are life everlasting. This is what I've got to get over to you, everyone who wants life eternal. Now, in the last days, go back to Isaiah 2, got just two more scriptures, and then we're finished. Isaiah 2, now remember what we just read. You're a spiritual house that Yahweh is building, putting his laws in your hearts and in your minds. He will write them, he said. That makes you a spirit being like Yahweh himself, a character that no one can change, that you cannot allow Satan to maneuver or to pull you out of Yahweh's house. In Isaiah 2 now, notice what takes place here with the two witnesses. In the last days, it will come to pass in the last days, this is us, that the promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. The chief, this nations, America only became chief, the chief of the nations in this generation, in my generation. Remember, you see these things, chief of the nation, and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow into it.
And many people will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain. That is the promotion of Yahweh to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths for the law. The law will depart from Zion, be taken to a land not yet established. Remember, it's going to depart from Zion. I'm going to dissolve the Levitical priesthood and give it to another people, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, and the branch that builds the house of Yahweh. Word of Yahweh, notice the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem, and he will judge among the nations, judge, that he'll set in judgment. We have a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Yochanan 5 says, all judgment is given unto him, the son of Yahweh. He will judge among the nations through his house, and counselors and captains and so forth. We'll get into that next week thoroughly. I want you to understand this pattern he gave to Moshe thoroughly, and it's going to be taught next week, Yahweh willing. He will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. If they're following the Savior now, brethren, why aren't they doing this now? You see how far off they are from the peaceful solution that Yeshua set the example of? They're nowhere near it. The house of Yahweh is the only prophesied place on the face of the earth that I know of that's teaching the laws of peace. And it's going to come to pass that they will stop war. They will learn war no more. Through you. Now, let's go back to 2 Kefa for the last scripture. Remember, he will judge among the nations. He will judge among the nations. So remember, this is Yahweh's judgment. It's not your judgment. You can't make up your own mind about anything. You're either going to learn these judgments of Yahweh, statutes of Yahweh, laws of Yahweh, and make them a part of your life and your thinking, or you won't be there. The way you do that is keep your appointment with Yahweh. I don't care how dumb you are, how stupid you are, how much education you have. The apostles were unlearned and ignorant men according to the world, and Yeshua taught them the laws of Yahweh, and they're going to be in that kingdom. You can too if you'll just keep your appointments. Endure in Yahweh's house. Keep your appointments and keep humbling yourself and learning. Don't come here to teach unless Yahweh has ordained you to do so and given you permission to do so, and you'll have a set time for doing things and decently and in order. Don't come here to argue and fight and start arguing with the man that tells you where to park. You get out of my way, you idiot! Don't you know how important I am? You see how stupid this is and how far it is from Yahweh? Do you see that? Praise Yahweh. 1 Kefa, the 4th chapter, and verse 17. And notice where the judgment begins. I'm going to judge among the nations. In the last days I will establish my house, crown Yeshua as high priest over the house of Yahweh, and tell him the branch will branch out and build your house. And he will make your enemies your footstool through this work, sitting here in front of me. If you endure, if you don't leave, if you don't let Satan talk you into leaving his house, leaving your appointments with Yahweh, leaving your learning with Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you and keep you in his way. I love you, brothers and sisters. May Yahweh bless you. Shalom.